Can I just say this? We all have insecurities. Can we just get that out of the way? All right? None of us, you know, a woman came up to me and she just feels, you know, said, I feel like kind of the uninvited person. I said, do you feel that way? I feel that way and I got to speak. We all just feel that way. It's just what the devil is just pounding us with constantly. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He meant for you to be here. And the great thing is, he makes us love one another. And we're accepted in the blood. I would like to think that Joyful Life Bible Study is a place you can come and you'll never get an up and down look. You know that. Not here, baby. Not here. In fact, to that end, I wore a dress that I bought for $5. Yes. This is my $5 dress. My virtuous woman $5 dress. But you know, it's not about how we look. It's about being here to pursue after the heart of God. In 1 Samuel 13, it's there. I just wanted to see it myself, sorry. Okay, now I know. Now I know what's behind me. But in 1 Samuel 13:14, God speaks to the prophet Samuel. And he says to him, don't mourn for Saul anymore, seeing I've rejected him. And we'll get into this when we study Saul a little bit more, but Saul was from a very prestigious family. He was head and shoulders above the rest of the men in Israel. He was good looking. He was in good shape. He was a responsible person. But God rejected Saul from being king because he lacked this essential, that he did not have a heart that was after God's heart. He didn't have that desire. Think about this. The Almighty God, God the Creator, God the King of Kings, the Deliverer, the Savior, is on a search. He's on a search. We're told in 1 Chronicles 16:9 that his eyes are always searching, going throughout the earth, taking it in, and he's looking. He's looking. He's looking for women. And he's looking for one specific. But let me tell you what he's not looking for, so you'll feel better. He's not looking for the most physically fit women. What a relief. Have you done your 100 push-ups yet? Well, no, sorry. Off to the side. You know, my son-in-law, he used to be a model. And he told me that when he would go for these auditions, they would go, yes, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Can you imagine? I said, how do you take that? He goes, I don't care. I'm like, oh my goodness. I've been crying for years. You know, I'd probably be the one like, but you know, God's not looking for the most physically fit women. He's not looking for the wealthiest women. That's good because none of us would qualify. He's not looking for the thinnest women. He's not looking for the most well-endowed women. He's not looking for the most nutritious women. Did you have sugar this morning? Did you actually drink coffee? Two. Well, three. Okay, we won't talk about you pot people. He's not looking for the most stylish women. Who's got the most style? That's not what he's looking for. He'll accept you, but he's not looking for you. He's not looking for the most sophisticated. He's not looking for the most brilliant. He's not looking for the most successful or even the most beautiful. He's not looking even for the lowliest. He is looking for this one quality. Do you want to know his heart and to please his heart? That's all he's looking for. In fact, it says in 1 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Those who want his heart, then he's looking for you. If you can say, that's my heart, I want to know God's heart, then he found you. You didn't make it here. He found you, and he brought you here. Jesus said in John 4:23 to the woman at the well, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. That's what God's looking for, those who want to worship him, those who want to pursue after his heart. They want to seek the heart of God. What is the heart of God? What does that mean, to seek the heart of God? It means they want to know the will of God. Lord, what do you want? Do any of you have those friends that give you on your birthday what they want? And you're like, wait a second, your kitchen is red. My kitchen is pink, you know? Or, you know, they give you an outfit, you're like, wow, this so looks like you. They give you towels with their initials. What is that? You know, but so many times that's how we're coming to God. You know, there were two brothers in Genesis, Cain and Abel, and they both brought sacrifices to God. But Cain gave God what he wanted to give God. But Abel gave to God what God wanted. And so many people only want to give to God what they want to give to God. They want to give to God what they want. You know, I'll give you this because this is what I want, so give it back to me as soon as you finish with it. But a woman who pursues the heart of God, she wants his will. She wants his will. As Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. She wants his will because she knows it's better than hers. It's better. You know, now that I'm 51, I'm telling everything today. $5 dress, my age, it's all gone. Yeah, they say a woman that will tell her age will tell you anything, so be careful. But at 51, I have come to the conclusion that other people have better ways than I do. They have better wills. You know, I have this one friend. She knows who she is. She's very brilliant. And sometimes I'll say to her, oh, no, tell that person this and this. And she'll say, well, would you mind if I told them this and that? I'm like, no, because that's a better thing to say. So I would go with your thing. Don't go with mine. In fact, pretend I never talked to you. Never happened. This moment, mm-mm. But you know, God's will is better. God's will is the best will. But a woman who pursues after the heart of God, not only does she want the will of God, but she recognizes this. God's will is the best will. It's the grandest scheme. It is the greatest goal. And it takes us way beyond ourselves into glory. I was saying to the Lord the other day, I'm in the car, Lord, I want to love you as much as humanly possible. And he said to me, that's not what I want. I want you to love me as much as divinely possible. I don't want you to live on the human level. I want you to come up to my level. Come up to my will. So the woman who pursues the heart of God realizes that his will is superior. And she wants that superior will. She also recognizes that the ways of God, the means by which he wants to work and accomplish his will, are the best ways. He wants to work by righteousness and truth. He wants to work by mercy and grace. He wants to use spiritual measures like prayer and the promises in the word and the principles of the word to get his will accomplished. He wants to use his way. You know, so many people, they'll see the will of the Lord and then they try to accomplish it. Like Abraham, who God gave the promise, you're going to have a child. And his wife said, I don't think it's going to happen by me. So they grabbed the maid and had a surrogate child. And God said, that's not the one I want. That's not my way. That's possible. That's humanly possible. I want to take you to the humanly impossible and only the divinely possible. I was reading in Streams in the Desert the other day. Wonderful devotional if you don't have it. But in Streams in the Desert, the writer was saying that God will often take away every other means. Every means that you can see that his will be accomplished. You ever have that? God says, I'm going to pay your bills. You're like, yes. You know, this is good. If they can just pay me for that job that I did a month ago, we'll have it set. And they go out of business and declare bankruptcy. Okay, Lord, you know that rich aunt I have on the second side by the third marriage? If she remembers she's related to me, could she just send me a check? You know? And then she gives all of her money to the Cat Foundation. You know, Lord, if I could just be, I don't know, find a lottery ticket in the gutter. You know, all these things that would come up, these ways for God to work, and God says, I'm not going to use any of those. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to take all those means away so that all you have left is me, and then I'm going to divinely do it. You know, I love to bless my children. I love to pay for them or to, you know, to do something, especially when I'm with them and their debit card doesn't work at the kiosk. And so then I want to take mine out and use mine. But, you know, the Lord's limited my funds. And I'm like, Lord, don't limit my funds. I have people I need to bless. Bless me so I can bless others. I like that. Bless me financially so I can bless others financially. It's a good desire, Lord. I promise I won't shop. How do you know, the other day I've got this child. I've got four, but I've got this one child. And they always need money. And I didn't have the money to give them. And she calls me up and she says, Mom, we got a $900 check in the mail. I wasn't expecting it. It's exactly what we need to pay our bills. I was like, wow, and you didn't use me. You know, God wants to divinely work in our life in unexpected ways so that we will know that it's the Lord, that we will know in Ezekiel, in just about every chapter in Ezekiel, the Lord says what he's going to do, and then he says this, that they might know that I am the Lord. Did you know God wants to prove himself in your life? And he's going to use these ways to prove he's God. So a woman after the heart of God says, okay, go ahead and prove. I'm ready. In unexpected ways, show me your lordship. I'm ready to see. I want your ways, not my ways. Women who pursue after the heart of God understand the greatness of God's heart. They understand that he is as he said he is in Psalm 86:5, that he is good and ready to forgive. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you're feeling bad about drinking that whole pot of coffee. He's ready to forgive. Isn't whatever you did, okay, maybe you cut somebody off just to get to this Bible study. He's ready to forgive. Maybe you took the parking place from that lady and then you saw she was on crutches. He is ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. We don't have to hold on to our guilt. We don't have to atone for our sins. I'm going to give every parking place away today and only take the last spot. No, he's ready to forgive. Go ahead, cut someone else off. He's ready. He's ready to forgive. Ready. You know that word ready actually means anxious to forgive? God just can't wait to forgive you. He wants to forgive you and start fresh and new right this moment. That's the God that we serve. And not only that, but he's abundant in mercy to all who call upon him. Abundant in mercy to all. No favoritism. He'll be abundant in mercy to you and to you, to all who call upon him. All. He will spill over in mercies for you. Abundant in mercies. Again, in Psalm 86:15, we're told that God is a God full of compassion. Full of compassion. He loves you so much. Today, I was talking to the Lord, and I said to him, Lord, sometimes I have a hard time believing that you love me. Not because you didn't say it enough, but because I just don't feel worthy of that. Is there ever a time that you're like, yeah, he loves me, because I'm kind of cool? No, especially, you know, when your kids tell you how you're not. It's like, he loves us. It's just the truth. We can't earn it. We just have to rest in it and accept it, because he just does. You know, one time, and this is only one time, Brian won't let me sell the car anymore. Some people came over to buy our Volvo. I told them everything that was wrong with it. Oh, you'll notice there's a dent there. Oh, and let me show you the little tear in the fabric right here. You know, so by the time I'm finished showing them the car, they're like, well, we're going to think about it for a couple days. It's like, I don't blame you. I showed them everything wrong. I didn't tell them that it runs well or that it was low mileage or, you know, that it was a safe car. I just showed them every single fault in the Volvo. So Brian takes it to the church next day and sells it to some surfers, because surfers really don't care about faults. You know, can it fit my surfboard? Good enough. It's sold. So these people call me back. We decided we want the car. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. We sold it to some surfers. They said, well, you told us everything wrong with it. We looked at another Volvo. It had more things wrong with it. But they didn't show us. But, you know, sometimes I think that's how we are with the Lord. He's saying, I want you. And we're like, well, let me tell you everything that's wrong. Okay? There's a dent here. There's a C-section scar. Okay? And you know how those are. And, you know, Lord, are you sure? And this thing is aging and it's not remembering things so well. Are you sure this is the package you want? But you know, our God is full of compassion. You're the package he wants. You're everything he wants. He's full of compassion. You're just going to have to believe it, sister. I never said sister before, but it felt good. You're just going to have to believe it. You're just going to have to accept it by faith. And because he said it, it's so. He's full of compassion and gracious. He's not counting, oh, you did that one wrong, you did that one wrong. He's not doing that. He's gracious, like going, oh, just forget that. Let's move on. Let's move on. We'll come back to that later. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. You'll get it. Just keep walking with me. He's abundant, here it is again, in mercy and truth. Our God is so compassionate that while we were still in rebellion, he sent his only begotten Son to live among us, showcase his love, and then to die for our sins so we could come into fellowship with him. Think about this. Jesus came. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He restrained his power, his godly power, to live as a man and to live as a man who was filled with the Spirit to show us how to do it. He manifested the Father and the Father's love for us. Then he went to the cross. He died for us that he might become our great high priest and stand at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Isn't that just too much? That right now, this very second, Jesus is praying for you at the right hand of the Father. That he knows what you have need of. And he is taking those needs and presenting them to the Father. He did all that he suffered. He died that he could pray for us. That he could intercede so he could understand us even better. And then so he could take us to heaven, that we might always be with him, that he would take the sting out of death so that death is no longer a curse, but simply a passageway, a porthole that we walk through to glory. That's it. You know, Revelation spoiled me for life. I am no longer content with this earth. Last year we studied Revelation. And, I keep thinking about those trees with the fruit of the month. I just want to get there. You know, peaches are going out of season. They're my favorite fruit. They're almost out of season. It's like, you know what? I'm supposed to like cantaloupe now? It just isn't the same. But besides that, it doesn't grow on trees. Can you imagine the cantaloupe tree? Sorry. It's a vine. But he did this. He did this because he's so full of compassion. Women who are after the heart of God not only recognize the compassion and the love that he's slow to anger, the goodness of our God, but they recognize that he is wise. He is wise. I mean, think about this. Our God knows the DNA of every woman in this room. He knows your DNA. You know, when scientists didn't even know you had a DNA, when they could not even figure out what that spiral meant in every cell, God knew. God knew what every RNA, what every nucleic acid would do. God knows it. As it says in Psalm 139, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of us, his own masterpiece, according to Ephesians 2:10. That's the God we serve. The God we serve knows our down-sitting and our uprising, and he's acquainted with all of our ways. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. Of course, that's really an understatement when you're talking about women, because what woman understands herself, right? And we don't even know why we went upstairs. We don't even remember that we did a tub load of washing. We're like, oh, I washed those. How long have they been in the washer? Better rewash them. Throw in the baking soda. Maybe that's just me with my $5 clothes. But women who are after the heart of God know that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him, according to Colossians 2:3. We serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10, God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen next year. God knows what's going to happen the year after that. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the end from the beginning in your life. And God knows you inside and out. Women who are after the heart of God recognize the power of God. In Psalm 62, the psalmist declares, power belongs to the Lord. Our God is all powerful. As Jeremiah exclaimed, you are God. Is there anything too hard for you? Rhetorical question. The answer is no. There's nothing too hard for our God. He is the creator of all things, according to Colossians 1:16 and Genesis 1, of course, and John 1. He upholds all things by the word of his power, according to Hebrews 1. And Colossians 1 tells us that all things consist and are held together by the Lord. Women who pursue the heart of God know how powerful he is. That nothing is too hard for him. No situation, no trial. Nothing is too hard for our God. He is able to break through every barrier and get his will accomplished. Women who are after the heart of God know these things, and they pursue after the knowledge of God. They know also, according to 2 Corinthians 2:14, that God is always leading us in victory. If God's in the lead, if we're following after him, we are going towards victory. It doesn't matter if we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we're going to victory. We're on our way to victory. And all his ways are mercy and truth. All his ways. So, women who pursue the heart of God, women who desire to know the heart of God, want to know more about his character, more about his power, more about his will, and more about his ways. And so we're here that we might become those women who learn more about the character and goodness of their God, those women who know and experience the power of their God, women who know the goodness and beneficence of the will of God, women who follow in his ways and say, the ways of the Lord, his ways are the best ways. To this end, this year at Joyful Life, we're going to be studying the word. We're going to be going into the word of God. And we're going to be looking at people who pursue the heart of God. We're going to then write it down. There is something about looking it up and having to answer questions that makes it go a little deeper, doesn't it? So you're going to be answering those questions. And boy, do we have some doozies for you this year. If it's too much of a doozy, go to number twozy. You're going to be discussing it in groups, hearing testimonies, what God is speaking to others, and sharing your answers with others and don't think, oh, that was so good. Mine's not very good. Yours is good. Yours is a good answer. It might be the wrong answer, but it's a good answer. No, I'm just kidding. There are no wrong answers. Well, unless you're really off and you wouldn't be here if you're really off. So you're going to discuss it and you're going to be able to give testimony of what God has done. To this end, we will be praying in our groups. We will come in here for worship. I love worship because it gives us a chance in song to declare who God is, the character of God, the goodness of God, his will and his ways and what he's done, and also to present our hearts before him and say, God, work these things in my life. Because, you know, worship is really a prayer, isn't it? It's really prayer and praise. And according to Colossians 3:16, God works his word in our hearts through songs and hymns and spiritual songs and thanksgiving. This is how God is working in us. And then we pray that God would work in us, have his way in us, reveal his character, his power, his way to us. And we're going to be submitting our trials to God. That's right here, right now. We're going to submit our trials to God. We're going to give them to God and watch what he can do with our trials. I give this example every year, so get ready for my yearly example. Years ago, when I was a child, and don't hate me for this, I used to watch Bozo the Clown. He was on Channel 13. And I didn't really like Bozo that much, but there was one thing I loved, and that was Mr. Squiggle. How many of you remember Mr. Squiggle? Okay, I love Mr. Squiggle. Remember how he would bring out that easel with that great big pad of paper, and he would choose the meanest kid in the audience, the one with the snarl, and he would let him come up and make a squiggle on that clean sheet of paper. And those kids, they really wanted to get Mr. Squiggle. They were going to make such a mark on that paper that Mr. Squiggle couldn't do anything with it. So that child would come up and he'd just mark up that paper with an ugly squiggle. I'm talking ugly. Black, ugly squiggle. And then, arrogantly, they would hand the pen to Mr. Squiggle. And Mr. Squiggle would look at that easel, and he would look at that paper. Then he'd take his pen, and he would turn that ugly squiggle. I remember one time he turned it into a princess going like this out a window with a handsome prince down below. Okay, he wasn't that handsome because it was cartoon, but a prince nevertheless. Another time, he made it into a mommy duck with a whole bunch of little baby ducks following after her. Mr. Squiggle was amazing. There was no mark on that paper that was too hard for Mr. Squiggle. He could take whatever mark, and however that paper was marred up, he could take it and he could make something amazing. Something that then was a work of art, because Mr. Squiggle then would sign it at the bottom, Mr. Squiggle. I bet you those things are so expensive now. Can you imagine? I mean, if Barbie's $1,000, imagine what Mr. Squiggle is. You're going to present those squiggles to God this year. And we're going to watch God make an amazing masterpiece out of those squiggles. So that we will say, God, none but you. None but you. And then we're going to listen to the Bible study to affirm and confirm what God is speaking to us. Lord willing to inspire, at times to convict, to place his hand, his finger on that very thing which is keeping us from his heart. Because to go after the heart of God, we often have to leave something, don't we? We have to leave something behind to pursue something else. To exhort or encourage or stir us up. To direct, to correct, to help, to strengthen, to bless, to warn, to prepare. And so to that end, I'm going to keep using that term because it's working for me. To that end, we'll be studying women and men who pursued and then failed to pursue the heart of God. Next week, we'll come together and we'll talk about Hannah. What an amazing woman. God used the barrenness in her life to bring about a great work and to make her a woman who pursued the heart of God. We'll study about Eli, a man who left off pursuing the heart of God. We'll study about Samuel, a man who continued to pursue the heart of God. Saul and Jonathan this year. And then beginning in January, we will begin to look at David. We'll get glimpses of David through each of these portraits. But starting in January, we will look at David and the different aspects of David's life and how he pursued the heart of God. Those who pursue the heart of God can have expectation, an expectation and a certainty that will not and cannot fail. Cannot fail. If you pursue after the heart of God, that expectation cannot fail. Because God will meet us. He will meet each one of us individually. In John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," that's a person who's pursuing the heart of God. "My Father and I will come and make our abode in his heart, and we will manifest ourselves to him," to her. God will manifest himself to you this year. He will show himself strong on your behalf. We can expect that God will hear and answer our prayers because we are praying with the confidence that he hears and he wants to hear, because we are pursuing his heart and we are asking for his heart in every arena of our lives. We can expect to be changed this year, our outlook, our attitude, and especially our hearts, because we will become more like Jesus as we seek to pursue the heart of God. Because Jesus said, "I do always those things that please my Father." We will become more like Jesus. And finally, we will influence others for Jesus. Because as we're after the heart of God, others will look at us and say, "I want what you have." And you can say, "I'm after the heart of God. That's what I want." We will influence others. When we pursue and set our hearts to be women after God's heart, we'll be blessed. So let's go forward as a company of women who are after the heart of God. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I thank you again for every one of these women, each one, your masterpiece. Each one, Lord, that you put your touch, Lord, you made her eyes and you made her ears and you made her nose and you made her hands and her fingers and her toes. Lord, each one of these, Lord, you chose her eye color, you chose her hair color, Lord. You took from the palette of heaven and you chose every part of her and you wove it together into your masterpiece. Lord, I pray that you would put in us such a heart that nothing could keep us from pursuing after you. Lord, that you would become the passion of our minds, the passion of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, there will be women up front to pray with you after this study. God bless you.